Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again. I hope that you are doing well out there. I hope you're staying safe and making the best of a very odd situation out there. With that said, let's get into today's show. My guest today is an international speaker, relationship builder, entrepreneur, and he's a firm believer that you do not need to live in Silicon Valley to work and succeed in tech. He was raised in a family of entrepreneurs, and he started his first business when he was still in high school, much to his mother's dismay that we hear. After a brief stint trying to follow that more traditional employment path, he inevitably found himself back on the path to entrepreneurship. Today, he is the founder and CEO of Powder Keg, a digital community for tech entrepreneurs and professionals building innovative companies in tech hubs between the coasts. Now, let's hack Matt Hunkler. For better or for worse, as customers, we've gotten used to having things we order online being shipped to us in 2 days or less. It is the new standard. And as a growing business owner, how can you keep up with the big players? Introducing Shippo, your business's new secret weapon. Shippo is the only shipping software for growing businesses that you can start today, set up in minutes, and then ship today. Because they ship hundreds of millions of packages, Shippo's volume discounts save you up to 90% off carrier rates. Simply connect your online store to Shippo. No coding or technical expertise required. And they'll instantly identify the lowest shipping rates from 55 plus top global carriers like UPS, USPS, and FedEx. Join over 100,000 companies like Goat, Hims, and MeUndies who are saving up to 90% off carrier rates with Shippo. For our listeners, they're offering the best discount available anywhere. Get a shipping consultation and Shippo Pro Plan 6-month trial for free at goshippo.com/hack. That's up to $700 value for free at goshippo.com/hack. Go right now and get your shipping consultation and Shippo Pro Plan 6-month trial for free at goshippo.com/hack. Even at the best of times, starting a small business is no small feat. It takes late nights, early mornings, and those occasional all-nighters. So why not make things a little easier on yourself? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners like you. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than that dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and you'll get them paid twice as fast with automated online payments. File expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part is FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days, no catch, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/hack. And enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. Once again, freshbooks.com/hack. And we are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Awesome. I'm happy you're here. It was short notice, so it's cool we could make it work. And I'm excited to get into this.
Things are changing very rapidly right now. So adapting to a just-in-time podcast interview is the easiest just-in-time decision that I made this week.
Yes, flexibility is key at this moment. so let's start where we start. All right, Matt. Can you tell me, Matt, as an entrepreneur, what's the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I mean, I have to say my biggest successes, I have to attribute to other people, because the biggest opportunities, the biggest sort of lightning strike, sort of right place, right time, it always comes down to the right person. And relationships and network and community are kind of my thing. It's a lot of what I do at Powder Keg, but it's also what enabled Powder Keg to come to be. So I would have to say it's the people and relationships. And it's the relationship building and nurturing of those relationships that is probably the number one thing that I do, is putting as much energy and focus on helping the people that have helped me, and even the ones that haven't, because in the long run, I'm a big believer in the network effect, and that what goes around comes around.
Yes. So the people and the people around you is one thing, but this ability to connect with them or like build that relationship, is this something that you've just always had within you? Or is this something you like, as you've gone through businesses and through businesses, you've been like, this is something I really need to learn and figure out?
I think it's a little bit of both. One of the things that I've noticed from the people that I admire is they're really good at what they do. And a lot of times because they have a natural ability, but then they take that natural ability and they become the best in the world at it, or at least the best that they can be at it. And so I've tried to kind of mimic that with my own entrepreneurial career in looking at sort of the DNA that I have. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My grandfather had an automotive parts business back in the middle of the 1900s, and that enabled him to grow the family. My dad was one of those siblings of one of nine, and he was an entrepreneur as well. And I think I did a lot of just absorbing as a kid, watching my grandfather and my dad just naturally put people first. People want to do business with people. They don't want to do business with a brand. Now you got words like personal brand and things like that. But people want to do business with people. And I think I learned that very early on. And it just kind of came naturally to me when I started my first company in high school, going door to door, asking people if they wanted to convert their vinyl records to CDs. Believe it or not, people wanted CDs at the time more than vinyl. And that was my first business. And it was kind of learning through that process that I had a little bit of a knack. But then once I realized that, that's when I was like, okay, how can I turn this sort of knack into more of a superpower? And that's where I started to read a lot of books like Never Eat Alone, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Both my dad and my grandfather are graduates of the Dale Carnegie program. And that's when I started to learn some of the finer details of techniques and strategies to be great with people, or at least be better with people. Some of which I was already doing naturally, and some of which I was like, oh, I don't do that. I should work that into the repertoire. And then just learning and meeting people like yourself and like our mutual friend, Brian Clark, and learning from just watching other people do what they do really well.
Was there any chance of you not becoming an entrepreneur and starting businesses?
And that's a really good question. My mom was not super gung-ho on the idea. I would say, well, my grandfather is a very successful entrepreneur. My dad had a series of struggles after moving on from the family business. He wanted to kind of venture out on his own. And I think his struggle with kind of finding that right entrepreneurial opportunity, I certainly learned a lot through it because he shared his lessons with me as we went. And I'm very grateful for that. I feel like I got my MBA just being involved and watching a little bit from the sidelines as he was starting those businesses. But as a result, my mom was like, always Ms. safe, secure job, get good grades, do the honors program thing, take every opportunity you can. You can be whatever you want. My mom was a guidance counselor. It was sort of like, you can be whatever you want, Matthew. She called me Matthew at the time. Be whatever you want, Matthew. But the subtext was kind of like, as long as it's a lawyer, a doctor, or an architect. And so I actually was originally going to be an architect, went to school at Purdue, and then actually transferred from Purdue, which is an engineering school. I was doing structural engineering there. And that's when I decided, you know what, this is not actually what I want to do. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. And I missed this entrepreneurial thing. And that's when I doubled down on entrepreneurship and went to Kelly School of Business for their entrepreneurship program. And so that was probably the biggest decision I've ever made in my life, and really separated my career from the safe, secure track to the unknown, unlimited potential track.
Right. I mean, starting a business in high school, making CDs or selling, were you making the CDs?
Yeah. So we weren't manufacturing them. I mean, I think my first set was literally like blank CDs from Staples, right? And I was playing vinyl records. You have to play them analog, right? You set it and forget it. You have to like play the entire record. And at the time they didn't have USB turntables. So I was playing this analog through an extra piece of hardware that it allowed you to take the auxiliary input into the computer. And then I was, in some cases, remastering them. And then I realized after working with one customer that a lot of the customers actually preferred to have the sort of like clicks and pops of the vinyl in their copy of the CD. And so I actually was able to charge more for doing less work because it was like an extra dollar to keep the original clicks and pops in there. But that was my biggest aha moment of charge for value, not necessarily for hours worked.
Which totally makes, I will do less work and I'll charge you more as this upsell, which is perfect. Yep. So from that to going to college, following what your mom wants you to do to a certain degree, and then you went, I guess, back to Indiana for school?
I've actually lived in Indiana my entire life. I've had moments of being bi-coastal, you know, like having a place out in New York or having a place out in San Francisco, but I've always had a home, my primary home, right here in Indiana. So college town where Purdue University is, went to school at Indiana University, Kelly School of Business. And then I was about to sell the company, or I was about to take the company that I started in college out to the Bay Area, because that's where I thought you had to go. You wanted to work in tech. And I met someone that changed the course of my life. Again, probably one of the other biggest decisions I ever made was deciding to sell that business and go work for this other guy who had an amazing software company here in Indianapolis, where I still live today. It was actually two guys. The first guy is the guy who invented voicemail, lives in an area of Indiana called Carmel, Indiana. And Scott Jones is his name, serial entrepreneur, also invented the software called Gracenote. That's now kind of what powers iTunes, eventually got acquired by Sony. So I had the opportunity to go and work with him, as well as this other entrepreneur who started a cloud hosting company, cloud computing, this little thing that was a new concept called cloud computing at the time in 2009, and had a chance to go work for a series of tech companies where I realized tech and high growth tech innovation happens more than just in Silicon Valley, despite what you might see in the movies or on TV.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so this is like an interesting thing, even beyond tech, right? I mean, starting almost any businesses and just, I think I've never been to Indianapolis per se, but I'm from like middle of the country, originally in Canada. And there's just this like, there's this urge often to just want to go to the coast anyways. That's where the fun is. That's where the cool cities are. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's where people sort of, beyond anything, like beyond tech, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to see you stay there. And then also like, not only that, but now like doubling down completely with Powder Keg and helping other people stay there and get good jobs.
Well, absolutely. And right now it's even people coming back from the coast. We call those boomerangs, where they go out to take that job at Google or PayPal, or move their company out to the coast because they think that's where they need to be in order to raise money or in order to be by customers that will buy from startups. And then they get out there and realize grass is always greener, right? You get there and you're like, oh, wait a second, I'm spending 80% of my paycheck on housing. And the infrastructure in this city is not keeping up with the pace of the growth of the city. And certainly nothing against New York City or San Francisco. I love both of those places. I love visiting both of those places, but did not really enjoy my experiments living in those locations. And I think a lot of the magic is realizing that people want more out of life than just a job and of opportunity outside of San Francisco and New York City. And so we're actually seeing a lot of those boomerangs coming back from the coast saying, okay, now that I'm looking at having kids, I'm married now, I want to have a yard, I want to have a bedroom for every person in my family, and I can work from wherever. And we're seeing that right now with the whole thing that's going on with the pandemic.
it has really forced this mass adoption of remote work. It's really been a remote work revolution that was already happening, but I think a lot of companies are making that shift right now to fully remote. Obviously, they have had to make that shift, but I think it's more of a permanent shift than a, hey, things are just going to go back to quote unquote normal after all of this. And I'm hearing more and more of those kinds of conversations that are happening right now.
So with Powder Keg, are you, like, is the emphasis today, like, not necessarily when you started, but is it on remote work or is it on work from these smaller cities?
Yes. So the answer to both of those questions is yes. The focus is on work from wherever you want to. The world is flat, right? Like Thomas Friedman wrote that book, I think over a decade ago at this point. It is actually true right now. Our mindset is around be where you want to be, and you can find a job you love in that place, or you can grow your company from that place because there are outlets. Now with kind of what we do with our virtual events, with our digital resources, and even with our software, it's all focused around no matter where you live, let's get you linked up with the resources, the community, the people that you need in order to succeed. And it doesn't have to be in the Bay Area where you're spending 80% of your check on your housing.
So Powder Keg, though, is not like a job board.
No, absolutely not.
So just, can you just take us back? Because it's been almost 3 years now, and now there's the whole COVID pandemic thing. So things are changing, probably really in your favor. But just can you take us back to like the beginning, the inception, like how you came up with the idea and then got started with Powder Keg?
So that story actually goes back a full decade and kind of picks up where I left off on selling my company back at IU. I sold my company before I graduated and came here to Indianapolis. And when I got here, I told myself I sold my company to join this entrepreneurial fellowship. It was a 2-year fellowship program. I told myself, all right, 2 years, I can do this. I'm going to not be an entrepreneur. I'm just going to support other entrepreneurs. I'm going to learn from them. I'm just going to absorb. That lasted 2 months. And I started another company, which was a non-toxic personal care products and cosmetics website that was called Repurify. And it was about 4 years too early or undercapitalized, depending on how you look at it. It was 2009. So I had seen the early trend working with an agency. My company had worked with another agency where we'd kind of see this big trend and opportunity. And we went into it. I had taken a lot of the proceeds from my first sale, a lot of my energy and time into launching this e-commerce platform. Again, nights and weekends. So I'm working at a startup, which, you know, startup hours are like 50 to 70 hours a week minimum. So I'm doing that by day. And then at night, I'm hacking on this product. And I'm like, I got to find my other people. Who else is sitting out in bars and restaurants and trying to find a good Wi-Fi signal at coffee shops, using their spare time to start new companies online? And I found every person that I knew in the state of Indiana and invited them, every person that I knew that was entrepreneurial, and invited them to come to a meetup. So it literally started with meeting face-to-face, something that I'm not getting to do a whole lot of right now because we're definitely trying to flatten the curve. But I was able to get everyone into one room. That was all of 12 people. So I was, me and a couple of buddies were able to get all of those people into one room. And I was really struggling with my e-commerce platform. I mentioned we were too early. The search volume traffic wasn't there. So I didn't know how to do my SEO strategy. I mean, I knew how to do it. The problem was just no one was searching for it yet. And I was just running into a lot of hurdles. And so it really started almost as self-serving, saying, I want to get the smartest people I know to give me feedback on this. And so I pitched the idea. I pitched kind of my problem, and I asked for help in front of this room of other entrepreneurs and technologists. And since we had everyone else together, I had two other buddies that were like, hey, can I do the same thing? I'd love to use the kind of collective knowledge to get some feedback on what I'm building. And I was like, yeah, of course, let's do it. And man, everybody loved that event, and everyone was going home afterwards and they're like, hey, thanks, Matt. This is wonderful. When's the next one? And I said, next one, what? Like, when are you doing this, the next meetup of these? And I was like, oh, no. I think I got some good things I can focus on. I don't really have time to run another thing. And they're like, oh, no. You've got to do this. You've got to keep this going. And so then it became something more of a community. And that shift At the time, it was called Hackers and Founders. We were matching up software developers and founders. And there's still a global chapter of Hackers and Founders out in Silicon Valley. And it's amazing what happened there, because we started just getting together every month, sharing our stories, plugging into digital media. We were just recording every pitch, recording every talk that we could get from an entrepreneur, you know, some of the guys that I was working for at the time there, other leaders. And ultimately, people found that content because we were recording those. We were tweeting it out. Twitter was the big platform at the time. YouTube was still in its infancy. And people were finding it. And people were finding us. And those 12 people became 1,200, became 12,000. And now we're in over 12 tech markets around the country with tens of thousands of members who are passionate about growing tech companies in areas outside of Silicon Valley. And the people that are on the coasts see the big opportunity there. So they're trying to figure out, all right, how do we plug into the big opportunity that's happening in the middle of the country? And it was when I started seeing those big shifts 3 years ago that we launched Powder Keg to kind of really tackle that big opportunity to help people out in the area that's most important, which is finding the right people to grow your team.
But at that point, you'd already grown beyond Indianapolis?
Yeah, we had. We were doing meetups all over the place. Kansas City, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee. I'd even gotten linked up with co-founder of AOL, Steve Case, around the 2012, 2013 timeframe. And he had started a venture capital fund called Rise of the Rest. Awesome VC fund, has raised hundreds of millions of dollars to invest in companies in the middle of the country and growing in tech hubs outside of the valley. And so I've been on most of those tours, at least in part, in all of these different tech hubs all over the country. And so it was sort of that pattern recognition that I know most entrepreneurs have. They start to hear the same sorts of pain points from similar kinds of people, almost using the same language even. Even though it's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's Detroit, Michigan, and it's Boise, Idaho, and it's Denver, Colorado, and these are very different geographies, very different cultures, they're saying they have the same kinds of pain points. And that's when the light bulb kind of went off of, okay, everyone's having the same problem, and we're already solving this in some of our smaller geographies. How can we go tackle the big opportunity?
So how did this, it's been about a month now, this whole pandemic hitting. Some businesses, it's completely devastated. Some businesses, it's kind of been a wash. Some businesses have like taken off and skyrocketed from this. With you guys being, I mean, lots of it is based on like the local live events. How did this in the last month hit you?
Oh man, I mean, it hit us very close to home. One of the things that makes these tech hubs outside the coasts so magical is that they're very tight-knit communities. Whether you're talking about Indianapolis, where I live, or you're talking about Nashville, Tennessee, everybody kind of knows everybody, especially if you're talking about just the tech scene or just the entrepreneur scene. Everyone kind of knows everyone. And it's because we see each other out at the same restaurants. We see each other on the street. We see each other at meetups and events. And there's a huge force multiplier there of just having so many people that want to help each other in one geography. But then you kind of take that away where we're saying, all right, social distancing, let's try to help flatten the curve. Let's think of the good, the greater public. And the same things are happening in the Bay Area in New York, by the way. And all of a sudden, the world is completely flattened. So in some ways, you could look at that and say, oh man, this is going to be devastating because a lot of the magic that our community was founded on, of the like sort of in-person chance collisions that lead to big opportunity, those are happening less often in person. The flip side of that coin is the world is flat now. There's no, at me as an entrepreneur here in Indianapolis, there's not actually a benefit of partnering with an entrepreneur in Indianapolis over partnering with an entrepreneur in Kansas City or in St. Louis or you name it, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And so that was sort of the opportunity that we saw there is that, okay, look, everybody now has to be at home. We in the middle of the country already very good at running meetings, partnering with companies outside of our local geography, because you have to as a company in the middle of the country. And so I think that because of that, we were able to adapt fairly quickly. And my team has just done an amazing job of adapting. And I think that was one of the things that we kind of kept coming back to over the last month is just Darwin's sort of theory of I'm talking about Charles Darwin, evolutionary theory. It's not the strongest or the smartest that survive. It's the ones that are most able to adapt. And that's the thing that we've been looking at, is how do we adapt? How do we listen to what our community wants from us right now? What's their biggest pain point that they're having? And how can we help solve that? And luckily, we had been doing our events as virtual events prior to that. So there was always the physical in-person part of the event, but we also had the virtual version of that where we had thousands of people tuning in every month. So we just shifted everything to 100% virtual. And it's been a really amazing opportunity to learn. Our community has been so supportive, so helpful in telling us what they need. Then it just became really an exercise of prioritizing and focusing and executing. And that's what our last month has been like. And we went from, you know, I think we had like maybe just a couple dozen people on our first virtual event that we hosted. And we hosted two a week for the first month of this pandemic, to where now this week's event, we're expecting over 1,000 people registered for this virtual event. And we just launched it last week. And so there is a need there right now for things that are truly engaging. People don't want just another webinar, for the record. Right. They want something that is truly exceptional and truly different than the other quote unquote virtual events out there. And that's really what we've been focusing on doing, along with continuing to launch new features for our software to help people who have been displaced as a result of this pandemic and the recession, help get them connected with some of the companies that are still hiring. And there are still a lot of companies in the middle of the country that are hiring because they have healthy balance sheets. They're doing well. They're adapting well. And that is the biggest opportunity we're trying to tackle right now, is just how do we get people back to work? And these are just really bright people, thousands of them in our network right now, who are product managers with 5+ years of experience, software, full stack software developers with 7+ years of experience. The kind of talent that in a normal world would not be on the market for more than 48 hours. Now there's this big opportunity to help plug them into these awesome companies that are doing really great things in the middle of the country. And that's been the focus part for us.
So listening to you speak about this, you can tell there's passion behind it. And so thinking of like Repurify, you said in 2009, like you might be really into non-toxic products and you said it was too early, but it also seems like the difference is that with Powder Keg, it's personal.
Yep. Yeah, that's very true. I think it's a lot easier to build products or build solutions for people that you know intimately and know personally even. And I've gotten to know this community really well. As we talked about earlier on, I've met with tens of thousands of people in person, shook their hands when that was still a socially acceptable thing to do, learned their life story, why they were starting a company in Memphis, Tennessee, or why they were launching their company in Birmingham, Alabama. And now I know those people, right? There is that very human element of, I've heard your stories. I know this is an enormous problem, and I'm not claiming to be able to solve the entire problem, but even just putting a dent in the universe on this problem is creating value at a massive scale, because there are millions who have been displaced right now from jobs. There are millions of companies out there that need great talent and need resources and need community so that they can reach their full potential no matter where they live. And that's certainly something that I live personally, but it's also something that I lived, or at least learned, listening to how others have lived in these communities all over the world.
Right. And yeah. Yeah. I again, I'm partial to it because of where I'm from. It's sure. The same sort of an area, right? I mean, I still went to the big city, but I'm in the middle of the country still. We're not on the coast here in Toronto. So it's different in that way. But you said how you're doing it now compared to how you were doing it a month ago, like how it's people don't want just usual webinars. That's true. You said they're like live events, but how also has it changed the fact of how you like acquire customers or like market to new potential customers?
Well, that's a great question, because our two primary customers for Powder Keg are either the marketing department and these companies that want more visibility for their brand, their offering in our community, or it's the head of talent or HR. because they want to hire great talent out of our community and get mashed with good talent. Well, those are the two budgets in most tech companies that have gotten put on a hiatus right now and just said, all right, press pause on that, press pause on that. Let's just go in holding pattern right now. And now I'm talking about 50 to 70% of the companies. There's still a good portion of companies that are still hiring, still a good portion of companies that are doubling down and recognizing that they can have a lion's share of the voice, a lion's share of the attention right now for their marketing dollars or for their recruitment dollars. And so we're doubling down with those companies while at the same time, we're saying, okay, we've got to adapt and we've just got to deliver value. And we know that if we deliver value for these companies in this time where they have budgets frozen and literally just help them build out their talent pipeline or build out their customer pipeline, give them exposure in our community. Who are the people they're going to think of when their budgets get unfrozen? Probably the organization that has given them value over these couple of months that have just been some of the weirdest in the history of America. And I think because we've had that focus, that we've had just an explosion of growth in our community over the last several weeks. And just that focus on, all right, we're here to help and we're here to help now. Let's get these people back to work. Let's get people who are feeling isolated in their apartment in New York City or in their farmstead where they run their business out of Peoria, Illinois. Let's get them out of this feeling of isolation, get them plugged into this digital community, and let's figure out how we can grow this thing. And so if you think of it as a marketer, we're growing a lot of those sort of top of the funnel metrics. And because we've grown the top of the funnel so much at a much more rapid rate, we're still kind of closing business and getting to the bottom of the funnel at a similar sort of rate as what we had originally projected. We're just doing it in a different way where we're saying a much smaller percentage is going to convert, but we've got a much bigger pool that we're pulling from and we're just making it easy. We're not pitching anything. We're not trying to sell anything, but the people that really want to accelerate their growth in terms of their team or in terms of their brand awareness within our community, make it easy for them to do that.
I love it. I love it. And just to push this a bit, because of this insane change in the way, like you've said, like in America, in the world, this is unprecedented the way it's happened and unexpected. How does that make you, as the CEO, approach forecasting or even just planning into the future of what's going to happen in 3 months and 6 months and in a year?
Oh gosh, I am very, very much in time planning right now where I would normally have at least an annual plan. Right now, it is about iteration and that's totally a buzzword in the startup world, but nimbleness and adaptability, that's your biggest strength right now as a company, or at least I believe is your biggest strength right now, the ability to react and adapt. Now, it doesn't mean don't have any plans and don't have any goals, but having kind of different versions of the plan of like, hey, if this starts to happen, here's what we'll do. But if this starts to happen, here's how we need to react. And here's what we need to do with our current offerings or the current content in order to shift to that sort of that big opportunity. And you're not going, at least for us, we're not going so far down the path, each one of those different potential ways that things could play out. We're not going, here's our 2-year plan if this happens, and here's our 2-year plan if this happens. It's much more, okay, next 90 days, here's kind of what we think is going to happen. If it goes more like this, this is the general direction we're going to go. If it goes more like this, this is the general direction we're going to go. But really right now, it's about running really great lean startup tests and saying, what's our hypothesis? What are we trying to test for? What's the feedback that we're getting? And then what's the opportunity there? And it's just doing that over and over and over again and doing more of the things that work and doing less of the things that don't work. So that's maybe a long-winded answer to how are we planning right now?
It's a great answer. And I mean, I think that's how lots of people are doing it, but some people are also, I feel like some companies aren't able to adapt in those ways. And we're seeing it obviously with them. And they're just so stuck in trying to plan and forecast everything, but things literally changing day to day where we just don't know. We have to take it tomorrow as we see tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt. This has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Sure, of course.
This idea called the Entrepreneurial Gap. This is episode, I believe, 499 at this point, Matt. Wow. So I've talked to a couple people, and there seems to be this place where we live, which is this gap between what we see as successful and what we see ourselves as. So no matter what we accomplish professionally and personally, we never see ourselves as successful until next month when you hit that metric, or in 6 months when you hit that next metric. But we both know seconds before you hit that, you'll send bigger, loftier goals into the future. So your mom wasn't super happy when you decided to go into business. Now you've had some great successes. You've sold companies. You've had other ones that probably didn't work out quite as you planned. And now you're having huge success with Powder Keg. We've talked about that sort of throughout, and we've probably skipped over a bunch, but I would love it, rather than looking forward, Matt, if you could stop, turn around and look behind you and just tell me, how do you feel about this entire journey up until this moment?
That's a really great question, John. I want to give it a proper answer, so I'm taking a moment to reflect. You know, when I look back at everything, I think there was a really good portion of my early entrepreneurial career where I was keeping moving all costs. I was just moving and making things happen, trying new things, working at a startup by day, building a startup by night. And ultimately, that definitely led to some burnout. I feel like it led to kind of losing touch with myself and who I am. And when I look back at everything in my entrepreneurial journey, I feel like the biggest entrepreneurial hack is getting to know yourself better. And that's really kind of the quest that I've been on the last year or two, is how can I better know myself, understand sort of the principles that are part of the operating system by which I approach the world, and what is it that matters to me and connects with me at a deep, deep level in a way that is going to create the biggest impact possible. And that sort of quest of getting to know myself and introspection with relation to the rest of the world is something that I wish I had learned earlier. And I'm grateful that I learned now and not in my 70s or 80s, if I'm fortunate enough to get there. And I think that's the overwhelming feeling that I have when I look back at these last, what would it be, 15, 16, 17 years of entrepreneurship, is understanding, doing more introspection and doing more understanding of self is probably the most valuable time that I've had throughout that whole process. Slowing down enough to say, hey, what am I liking about this? What's working about this? And to your point, celebrating the wins. And I don't mean go buy a yacht and party, unless that's just really your thing. But more so, taking a moment to truly appreciate and feel grateful for the things that you have accomplished, that you set out to accomplish. Some of the things that you did accomplish that you never even set out to accomplish. You know, great example is Powder Keg. I would say it's the first business I ever started that was not meant to be a business initially. It just was an opportunity that was there and happened to be a need that I felt called to go and answer. And I'm just continuing to keep my eye on the horizon for what people need and where I, at least the way I know myself, am uniquely positioned to help fulfill those needs on the biggest scale possible. And I don't know if any of that made sense, but I think that's kind of where I've been in looking back at my entrepreneurial career.
It was a great answer. It was a great answer, Matt. And I appreciate it. So Powder Keg, we've talked about it throughout this. Now, can you just specifically, Matt, just tell people who it's for, what it'll do for them, and where to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Powder Keg is actually for anybody who's interested in the big opportunity that's happening in tech and entrepreneurship between the coasts. If you live on the coasts, we're not like anti-coastal people. This is definitely something where, like, the more we can connect to what's happening here in the middle of the country, the better. And the biggest way that we do that and most consistent way that we do that is with our weekly newsletter, The Spark, which literally curates the biggest stories and biggest opportunities that we're seeing in the middle of the country in tech hubs like Nashville and Denver and Austin and Indianapolis, all curated in an easily scannable format. And so I encourage anyone that's interested in that to check us out, powderkeg.com. It's a free newsletter. It's a free community to participate in. We've got great online community resources for CEOs and founders to just about anything you would have in a tech company, and people from all over the world that are there. So, John, I'm really grateful for you and your message of getting more people, particularly entrepreneurs, the resources that they need to grow and scale, because that's something we're certainly passionate about here at PowderKeg, and that's what we try to do everything through on the lens of powderkeg.com.
Awesome, man. You're also fairly active on Twitter and LinkedIn, so I'll find those links for you, or you can find it just at Hunkler, I believe, is your tag on most of these things, but I'll track those down. And powderkeg.com is where to get onto the newsletter and learn anything else that you want. Matt, I almost called you Matthew, like your mom used to call you.
It is my name.
I know. I shouldn't have said that. Matt, I do appreciate you coming on the short notice once again. It's been awesome. I appreciate you sharing so openly with us, and just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome to watch.
Thanks, John. You too, man.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. As I said in the conversation to Matt, it is something, I guess, near and dear to me to a certain extent, that whole not part of the coast, being in the middle of the country, but lots of us are like that. And so it's good to know that you're not alone, and that I think this whole pandemic situation is going to push more focus onto the rest of us, and we don't have to be on the coast to do the things that we want to do. Make sure you check out PowderKeg if you are anyway interested in tech. That could be for you at powderkeg.com. Otherwise, just thank you so much for stopping by. Thanks for, you know, being a valued, happy listener. And take care. Stay safe out there. And until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.